Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
I can't think of a time in my life that I didn't love music. My mom started me on piano lessons from our church organist when I was a kid. In fact, she and I took piano lessons sort of side by side. And music has always been something that, where I've been able to, you know, I'm a pretty intellectual guy, I like to think. And so music is a way that I can connect emotionally in ways that I struggle with outside of music. And so it's no surprise that, you know, when I got into the years of adolescence where you start to sort of make your own choices about who you are and how you're going to interact with the world, that I chose to do that very often through music. I still vividly remember a conversation with my guidance counselor as I was graduating from high school, who was sort of shocked when she looked at my transcripts to say that in my 4 years of high school, I had 8.5 years of fine arts credits. It's just always been like a part of who I am. Now, one of the first musicals that I ever really fell in love with was The Phantom of the Opera. Followed shortly thereafter, because I knew who had written it, Jesus Christ Superstar. If you saw Superstar last week on NBC, wow. And it was not long after that that some of my friends introduced me to this musical called Les Mis. And what a compelling story. Now, this was a time in my life where, like, I'd been going to church my whole life, but, you know, again, I was at that adolescent stage where I was making my own decisions about who I was and how I understood the world and how I would interact with the world, and I was more concerned about the pretty ladies than going to church. And yet this musical struck me in a way that I still don't entirely have words for. And I have a lot of words. So that's part of the inspiration for exploring this musical today. Now, of course, as a musician, one of the things that I sort of feel like as I explore this idea of music is, like, I think music is its own language, and I think many folks have gifts of languages, and for some folks it's spoken languages, and for some folks it's musical languages, and I'm hopeful to use this language along with some spoken language that we might understand what are some of the messages that come out of this wildly popular musical and story, and how can it have a positive impact on our lives? Like, what can we learn from it? What can we take from it? And how can it change us in a way that we might be bigger, better, more hopeful, more light-filled people? Now, in a way of sort of starting by illustration, I didn't know this was going to happen today. I just saw it when I came in today. But I don't know if you've had a chance to see our flower arrangement today. And number one, it's beautiful. Lewis always does a beautiful job. So thank you, Lewis, for the work to continue to do. But Lewis described for me the symbolism in this. You might see the wood back here that looks sort of tattered and broken and dead. Lewis tells me that this is a symbol of the barricade. If you remember the musical, the story of the musical is a symbol of the barricade. You might see this arc of roses going up here, and you might assign that with, again, if you've seen the flag, the big red flag as the person stands on the top of the barricade waving this big red flag, and so that's the symbolism here. And these beautiful different shades of greenery, all with various symbols of the people and the participants in the story. So do you see how there's a little bit of symbolism just visually for us as we start this sermon series today? Lewis tells me that he's got some different ideas for different ways of symbolizing this musical as we go through, so I'm really excited to see what happens in the weeks to come. If you are familiar with the story, or even if you're not familiar with the story, we'll talk a little bit about some of the characters that hopefully we'll get to know a little bit. One could argue that there's not a single main character. I'm going to go with Jean Valjean as the primary character. Jean Valjean is a person who was in this state of misery, as Miss Vicky talked about. I've been using the word despair. It's this deep sense of despair. Jean Valjean is already in a deep sense of despair as we learn a little bit about his history of who he is as a character, because he's very poor. He doesn't have anything. And in order to give something to someone else, he chooses to steal. He breaks a window and he steals some bread to feed someone else. It's not even really for him as much as it is for a child. His sister's child. And he gets arrested. And he goes to jail and he's put to hard labor. And the way at least the musical tells the story is he's in jail for, 19 years. 5 years for what he did and the rest because he tried to run. That's the way the lyric goes. Can you imagine being in jail for nearly 20 years because you steal a loaf of bread for a child who's hungry? So he starts out desperate. And can you see that he falls even further into this sense of desperation, of despair? I use those words, by the way, almost as synonyms, desperation and despair. And part of the reason I do that is because the Latin root of the word despair comes from, right, the D part means the opposite of, and spare, the Latin word is hope, right? So the opposite of hope, that's what despair means. And the word desperation is from the exact same Latin root. That's why I use those two words sort of interchangeably. But I think that's the place that these people are in, that Jean Valjean is in as he's finally learning that he's going to be able to escape from jail, or not escape, but be released from jail. But the community is still in this sense of despair. The opening song, Look Down, Look Down. As Miss Vicky was talking about, sometimes it's hard to be people that are hallelujah people. That we get so overcome with our circumstances in the world that all we can do is look down. Look down, you're standing in your grave. Look down, nobody cares. Look down. It's this sense of deep despair. Now, the song that we heard today at the end of the day is from a group of workers in a factory. And I put myself in some of the positions of these people who work in this factory. And this particular factory is one that has a foreman that has a foreman who needs to be called out in the Me Too movement. That has a foreman who has hands that seem to grope any available woman. And yet these women are so desperate for work that they find that they have to be in this place because this is the only way that they can earn a living. They have to subject themselves to this because that's the culture of the time. That's what reality is. Do you understand what a terrible sense that this must be, what a terrible time this must be for these people in France during the period of this story? Now I ask if you have ever felt a sense of despair, if you have ever felt yourself in that sense of desperation. And I ask that partly because, frankly, I've been asking myself that question. I don't think I've ever felt that way. Like, if I'm really honest, I've had a pretty lucky life. I was born in South Florida. We moved to California. My dad worked in Hollywood. We've always had dinner on our table. I've always had a roof over my head. I didn't have to face this stuff. And part of that's privilege, and part of that's luck, and part of that's, I don't know what it is, what else it is. But like, I've never had to endure that kind of despair. And that's just a reality of the benefits that I've had throughout my life to this point. Even as someone who endured the loss of a parent, I don't know that I ever went through this level of despair. But I don't think that that means I can't connect with this story and understand this story. And if you have had a sense of despair, you might be able to connect with this story better than me. And if you haven't, I think that we can still connect with the story. I think we can still understand that there are times that people are in such situations that they are utterly and completely without hope. There is no space for joy. There is no space for light. All there is the tunnel and the darkness without hope. Now, it's hard to talk about these things because it's just a week after Easter. Easter is supposed to be this happy time. Easter is supposed to be this time where we're the Alleluia people, where we're the resurrection people, where we're the people who can't get that crazy smile off our head because we're just so filled with the Spirit and joy in Jesus. But if we think that, then maybe we're not reading the whole Easter story. If we think that, then maybe we're jumping to the end too quick. Because I believe that the disciples felt this sense of despair as well. I believe that the disciples were so hopeless that they needed something to shock them out of it. Now, the good news is I believe that God gives us what we need, not always what we want. And I think that these disciples were able to be shocked out of that sense of despair. And I'd like for us to hear a little bit about that story. We're going to hear from the Gospel of John, and this is the 20th chapter. And this, I mean, this really is the same day that Jesus is resurrected. But for some of the disciples, they don't know it yet. So you imagine, we'll hear this story as the disciples are, I would say, cowering in fear, in this sense of desperation, of despair, of being without hope.
Jesus appears to the disciples. It was still the first day of the week. That evening, while the disciples were behind closed doors because they were afraid of the Jewish authorities, Jesus came and stood among them. He said, "Peace be with you." After this, he showed them his hands and his side. When the disciples saw the Lord, they were filled with joy. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you don't forgive them, they aren't forgiven." Thomas, the one called Didymus, one of 12, wasn't with the disciples when Jesus came. The other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he replied, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, put my finger in the wounds left by the nails, and put my hand into his side, I won't believe." After 8 days, his disciples were again in a house, and Thomas was with them. Even though the doors were locked, Jesus entered and stood among them. He said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. Look at my hands. Put your hand into my side. No more disbelief. Believe." Thomas responded to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." Jesus replied, "Do you believe because you see me? Happy are those who don't see and yet believe." Then Jesus did many other miraculous signs in his disciples' presence, signs that aren't recorded in this scroll. But these are things written so that you will believe that Jesus is the Christ, God's Son, and that believing you will have life in his name.
Now, the text opens with, listen, it's still the first day of the week. And we might read that as, all right, it's still the same day as the resurrection. But we really can't constrain this to sort of a one-day time frame. Because it was Thursday night that Jesus was arrested in the garden. And that's the point that many of the disciples scattered. At least according to the Gospels, there weren't a whole lot of the disciples who were hanging out by the cross. Can you imagine that fear of being arrested by the same people who arrested Jesus for the rest of Thursday night, all day Friday, all day Saturday, and until the end of the day on Sunday? That's a different thing than we get from, you know, the part that just says, well, it's still the first day of the week. Hold on, this is days. Now, if you've ever been in that sense of despair, if you've ever been in that sense of hopelessness, if you've struggled with mental illness, think about how when that kind of thing sort of sits in you for days, like that feels like it gets worse and worse and worse. At least that's been my limited experience. That when it sits in you like that, it sort of festers. And you get more down, you get more dark, you get more desperate. And so these disciples are huddling in an upper room. But then, I think recognizing perhaps what it is that they need, Jesus shocks them out of their despair by appearing. Now, we can talk about the miraculousness of appearing behind closed doors. I choose to think in this case simply that Jesus responds to what we need. And how does Jesus respond? Like, not only is there the shock of appearing behind closed doors, but what is it that Jesus says? The first thing that Jesus says in both appearances, both in this first appearance to the disciples and then in the second appearance to Thomas, the first thing that Jesus says, "Peace be with you." Imagine how comforting those words might be when you have felt like you're so hopeless, that you're so in despair, that you're so desperate, whether you felt exactly that way or you can sort of align yourself and connect with what that might feel like. Imagine someone who you know and trust, someone who has already brought for you profound knowledge, comes to you and says, "You can be at peace." This doesn't have to have control over you. You're not alone. And then, I just saw somebody do it and it was perfect. Can you imagine that sigh of relief? It says in John that Jesus breathes on them. That Jesus breathes the Holy Spirit. We've talked about this before, the ancient Hebrew word means breath, also means spirit. Can you imagine that sigh of relief where you take in that life-giving oxygen, but maybe that sense of spirit too, that helps you to experience that peace in a tangible and profound way. Now, of course, there's the one disciple who gets a bad rap. That's the way I think about it. I think Doubting Thomas, that we call him, I think he gets a bad rap. Right, it's in this same book. It's in the same Gospel of John, a few chapters earlier, where it's just before Lazarus is raised that the disciples are saying, "Well, we can't go to Lazarus. We know he's sick. We can't go there because they'll arrest us and kill us all." And it's Thomas who says, "Let's go and die with Jesus." I think he's Thomas the Brave. But Thomas is still so down in that sense of hopelessness and despair that maybe he can't see his own identity. I wonder if you felt that way too, where you've been so in that sense of hopelessness and despair that you can't see who it is that you really are. But my friends, even for you, even when we get to those places where we don't know who we are, we don't know which way is up, we don't know where the light's going to come from, we don't know if there's any light anymore, that Jesus comes to us even then and breathes into us and gives us life and says, "Remember who you are." Gives us what we need. It is my hope that as we journey through this musical of Les Mis, that we will have that same experience, where we will take in the breath of life and spirit and remember who we are. Remember that when we are in these periods of desperation, like the people of the story, like the disciples who were so grieved, that we will understand that life and breath are given to us, that we have the opportunity to take in this spirit. Jesus, when he breathes on the disciples, he empowers them. I believe we are empowered as well. As we journey through this story, we will get to the point that we see faith in a tangible way. I believe that to be true. Because as the journey of this musical takes place, there is desperation and there is challenge, but there is also hope. And the way this musical ends, this isn't a spoiler alert, okay? But the way this musical ends is my favorite line from any musical that I've ever seen. To love another person is to see the face of God. A story that starts with such hopeless desperation ends with the face of God in showing love to one another. My friends, let us breathe in the spirit that is all around us. There is light and there is hope. And there's a journey. Bring it out. to a time of prayer. I invite you to join me in the spirit of prayer as we lift up the concerns of this community. Holy and gracious Creator, thank you for connecting with us this day, connecting to us through spoken word, through music, through presence, through breath. Thank you for drawing us to this place today, whatever it is that brought us here, that we might in some way connect more closely with you. As we gather today, as we focus ourselves on you, we lift up these prayers of this community. Friends, we lift up all of these prayers and any that are left unsaid as we join together in the prayer taught to us by your Son, our Christ, O God, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.